Sometimes life can give you the raw deal, and that's where Dope comes in. Dope provides edible cookie dough in a variety of flavors and styles for you, delivered to your house deliciously and intact. Dope also donates a portion of every sale to the She Recovers Foundation with a minimum guaranteed donation of $40,000 every year. She Recovers is a nonprofit charity with a mission to connect, support, and empower women in or seeking recovery. You can also use the code TBL05 to get $5 off your order at checkout. Once again, just go check out Dope at www.dope.com. That's www.dougp.com and use the code TBL05 to get $5 off your order at checkout.
Number one, if you're going to go stereotype on any group, the next thing out your mouth better be the most original, funny shit ever said.
Yeah.
Okay. Mainly because, you're perpetuating a stereotype.
Yeah.
That means you are about to endorse what some of the racist sexists in your audience already think.
Yep.
Or you're about to piss them off.
Yep.
Which is it going to be? So I've always gone there.
Yeah.
If I decide it needs to happen. And sometimes you pay the price.
Yep.
And sometimes even when the audience roars, you'll still see faces, you know, where people just bent all out of fucking shape.
Yep.
You know, because
you've seen it.
People laughed at something they were deeply, deeply offended by.
Yeah.
Y'all have all seen me. I use the N-word. I use it consistently, vigorously, like a loofah.
I've never heard you say the N-word. I've never heard you say no, and I think that...
You're right about that. And that's why I'm here on a Monday night.
Instead of because we knew he wasn't going to fucking say no.
Don't say no.
Welcome to the Basement Lounge Podcast, a deep dive into current events, a comedic look at a serious world, hosted by Mike Shea and Mike Wells.
All right, I'm actually going to do an intro on this one because it's a big show and we're doing something a little bit different this time around. So for those who have listened to the show before, you've heard Jesse Nutt on the show before. We've had him on, been here before. Newcomer, and I had to think about it because you haven't been on the show before. No. Jeff Allen, fairly new to the local scene.
East Side? Don't I fucking say that ever again.
I said that just to see what Mike would say.
And we're here.
Plug is Mike.
We're here as kind of a broad spectrum of Dayton comedians because just some news broke last week, and from what I can tell, it's a lot of mixed feelings. So apparently, it's come out that Dave Chappelle owns the building now that Wiley's Comedy Club is in. He doesn't own the club; he's just the building's landlord now. And I've seen a lot of folks talking about it online, and everyone just kind of seems to have some mixed feelings, and it's starting to pop up in national news. So I think it's kind of worth.
Is it really popping up in national?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Dave is kind of land baroning it right now. I mean, he bought the land at Yellow Springs, and then he's going to gobble up a little something down there in Oregon.
Well, here's the thing too. I think it's genius on his part because, like, property. I mean, thing is, owning property is a good thing.
Sure,
well, he's automatically no lose proposition, really.
Well, he bought that property, and because he brought that property, the value automatically went up on that property.
Oh, the celebrity
premium. Well, people are also like, they're talking about like going back to Wiley's now, which first of all, screw you. But second of all,
my favorite is always, that place still open?
I get that so much.
That hurts.
I posted one of my clips on Reddit the other day, and somebody was like,
"I saw that." Clip,
somebody was like, "Oh, Wiley's. Oh, I heard Dave bought the place," and I was like, "No, he didn't." But if you want to hear more about it, listen to my podcast.
Shameless plug.
I mean,
gotta do it.
Yeah, of course I fucking do. but it's hitting some national. So I thought it was worth getting some folks together and just kind of talking about it, and because. I'm not from here. I've only lived here 7 years, so I know there's some history with Dave and Wiley's, but I don't know what it is.
Didn't it used to be considered like his home club?
Kind of.
Because he was in the area, so.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in D.C., right?
You would see him there a lot. You would see him at Joker's, which was the other club south of town. You would see him out there occasionally, too. You know, Dave was just Dave is an animal of stand-up, you know. Yeah. It was just the guy you saw, and you knew he had broke big young, and that was just, at least to me, around, it was just, that was Dave. Oh, hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know, man. I mean, viewpoint-wise, I guess I look at it differently because I've seen the guy for years. I watched him put the work in. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, man. You got paid because you put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do these things with your money, do these things with your money. Honestly, as far as him buying the building, I'm a little relieved. Somebody was going to buy it. And...
Because iHeart left. iHeart Radio's not in there anymore. They're at the arcade.
What is radio? I've heard that term before. What is that, some ancient form of communication?
I think that's...
Yeah.
Like, it's more... What, it's Morse,
it's like
code?
It's a lot of dots and dashes and...
No, I mean, look, and again...
That's what our grandparents jerked off to.
Moving to the Oregon District was such a great move for all those stations. Yeah. And they all had their remote vans parked out there, and it was really something.
Yeah.
Okay, then radio died. Mm-hmm. A very horrible death.
Oh, that ship fucking burned while it sank.
Okay. Now, are there cocky radio personalities who I am so glad are out of a job? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And now those dickbags have podcasts. But I don't have to listen to those.
Right. But see, I can still listen to my music without having to listen to them.
Yeah.
And the best part is they're not pompous anymore because they're not gatekeepers anymore.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and that was the thing. But yeah. Yeah, that building is empty. So I had heard rumors of, you know, people wanting to buy it. And, you know, let's face it, do what would make the most money.
Mm.
Condos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's already happening down there. They're springing up left and right.
If they put in condos, it's just a countdown till Wiley's would have to move.
Yeah. And this is already not the first place Wiley's has been, right? It was somewhere else.
No, it was up. I can't tell you what the name of the bar is now, but it was right there in Belmont, right at the corner of Patterson and some other street.
Oh, I know the area. Yeah. Anyway,
but yeah, that was Wiley's when I came in.
Okay.
And so yeah, when Wiley got that opportunity to move the club down to the Oregon, everybody thought it was
Oh, it makes all the sense in the world.
It did.
So much foot traffic down there.
Yeah, tons of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, with Dave on the club, I still think Dave is going to hopefully be a businessman at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's time for the club to move on and find a new location, maybe that's what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the club's in a great location. Hopefully Dave thinks the same thing.
Yeah. But that, I mean, in devil's advocate, that back alley doesn't get foot traffic like it used to.
Yeah, but you know what? Every comedy club should have a back alley.
Oh, I agree.
Okay,
I agree. But it's one of those. It's like, because the building is so empty and just looks like it is. Of course, everyone's gonna think there's nothing in there, especially when you got a neon sign that doesn't work.
Well, and again, I think those are some of the things that make the club the club.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's corny, and you know.
No, I get where you're coming from,
but I don't know. My hope is that the club will continue, the club will thrive.
Mm-hmm.
If you really think about it, pound for pound, Dayton, Ohio, the size that we are, the fact that we've sustained two comedy clubs
for
the better part of 20-plus years, it's pretty fucking amazing.
Especially when you consider the fact that they have such, even though they're both comedy clubs, they have such different demographics.
Well, and that's, I think, why they've survived.
Yeah.
Is you could see Earthquake 1 week and Rodney Carrington literally at ends of town
in the same weekend,
or Haywood Banks and Tony Rock, same weekend, little dinky ass Dayton, here you go.
Yeah,
and everybody's happy.
You go to Wiley's because you're a fan of comedy, not because you got free tickets.
And
that is also
I
view it as, like, I have this theory. My theory is that he wants to start his own chain. I do think about it. Like, why else would you buy that bill? I mean, property value wise, but like he's talking about doing the Yellow Springs thing. Mm-hmm. Fine.
He's not doing that?
No, he's doing the Yellow Springs thing.
Okay, so he's going to have his own joint in Yellow Springs.
Yeah. Why? So why not see how that goes? And then, because I think Wiley's lease is up in a few years. So lease is up, see how that goes. Like, oh man, well, my thing in Yellow Springs, I'm a good businessman. Go, my thing in Yellow Springs is doing great, making this amount of money. Why not buy Wiley's after out of their lease or their lease is up, buy it, turn that into a club as well, and then constantly, because he can buy whatever he wants at this point, turn it into a club. So I mean, like,
look, the amount of money it would take just because it's a historic building has always been, I think, the prohibitive factor about Wiley's remodeling and opening up, you know, doing this and that, because, well, plus you had iHeart own or they were leasing all that other space, but now you've actually got an opportunity to, you know, really take the club to the next level as far as do some remodeling, space out the showroom. Yeah.
And not steal money from a bunch of people when you say you're going to do that. I'm sorry, well, but I say that out loud.
That was
not laundry day.
No, but I lost money. Jeff, as a newer guy, how are you feeling about all this?
I guess I'm just I'm anxious, I'd say. I don't want to assume anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to get excited, or I don't want to be like, ah, shit, now. Because there is a lot of whispers and a lot of opinions in the scene. A lot that I've heard is if he, like you said, Mike, starts this chain of clubs, that it might be an outrageous price, and it might just be more mainstream comedians instead of supporting the local scene as Wiley's has done for decades. Yeah. And I don't see that, because I think the past couple of years, how big Dave's gotten, they've kind of almost changed the narrative a little bit to where he's still this guy who quit comedy. He loves comedy at his core. Like you said, Jesse, he's just a fucking, he loves this
shit.
Stand-up,
man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's still just a made guy.
Exactly. Mm.
And you got nothing to worry about, because you always going to have a stage. You got Carmichael's.
Yeah. True.
You doing the hustle the right way.
Carmichael's Club every Tuesday, guys.
Thank you. Get that plug in. Every Tuesday, these guys are putting their grind on.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll always have a place to play.
And that's what I'm saying. And at the core of who Dave Chappelle is, he respects guys like myself. Shout out Jarrell Beam and Kyle Kemper. These I'm not saying I'm in the same category. Jarrell would hit me in the shoulder right now, but I'm just saying he respects people that are grinding, that get on, that take the opportunities that are given to them and run with them. And I think if he does start a club, I don't think us local comedians will have to worry that much.
I viewed it as like your headliners would then be your features, and your features would then be your host. You'd still have locals.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just everybody kind of goes down a notch,
just
basically.
Just down a notch. Yeah. That's all it is.
And then on, but and not weekends, all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think all the time.
Weekends, still, when you need it,
I'm assuming you'd still have this, like the Sunday comics and all that. And
most definitely.
Because considering how much that room fills out every other week anyway, it'd be ridiculous to lose that.
I think like he loves comedy at its core anyway, so it's like one of those things. It's, he knows what type of club it is.
Yeah.
And he knows what type of people go there.
You walk in there, you know exactly what kind of place you're in.
It's just like, I mean, it's almost like it's your independent comedy club that you go there because you want to see comedy.
Yeah, it's the...
You want to see, like...
It's the working class comic room.
Well, but it's also indicative of the fact that a lot of what people understand as the comedy boom started the Midwest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it started in places like Wiley's and Go Bananas, down in Cincinnati, independent clubs that for the most part were run by investors, but people that really loved comedy.
Yeah.
And they would take chances on people, you know, features that got that headlining slot, and they got those shots first at clubs like Wiley's and Joker's and Go Bananas and places like that. That gave him that shot.
Well, it was like that. She used to give, what's her face, used to give Hedberg all the Jokers, Lisa, but Hedberg wasn't even big at the time.
Dude.
And I think they hated him, didn't they?
There were definitely some crowds
let's
that.
Let's say a lot of clubs.
There were a lot of crowds that just did not get it at first.
Yeah.
You understand, because, Mike?
Well, but think about, okay, what if Mitch Hedberg was the MC at your show?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Have you seen him do an MC bit? I saw a video one time.
Hedberg?
And I was like, huh?
Hedberg?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. He's just like, yeah, because like they did not like him at all.
No. Well, I mean, they didn't like him at his own Comedy Central special either.
They didn't like anybody.
But do you know why that was?
No, actually.
They
did
not. Okay. Yeah, because I got peeped to this.
Yeah.
The people in the audience were basically there to see a comedy show. They did not know
who
it was going to be. Mitch Hedberg. Gotcha. That was part of the problem. The other part of the problem was Mitch was trying out new shit on him instead of doing the tried and true. When you watch it, when he goes to the tried and true shit, then you hear them start to laugh more, and then they start getting into it. But yeah, that thing was doomed from the start.
That's why he just gives up partway through and just sits down.
That's my favorite. Just,
which is great. I love it when he does that.
I did that in a contest one time. Because it was like, I turned to my like fiance at the time, Melissa, now my wife. I was like, because the average age of the audience member at a finals at a comedy contest was like 65. And I was like, oh, they're going to hate me. So I literally like, this is an Akron. No, Youngstown. I literally, before I go on stage, so I was like, listen, if I turn my back to the audience, I just walk the stage, like the outer banks of the stage, I've given up. And I had to do 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And, like, I literally was like, all right. And I two jokes in. I didn't work. I didn't know. I joked that, you know, a joke that actually works.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, silence. I was like, all right. So I just start walking the edge of the stage, like, all the way in the back. Oh, like, I did all my time.
Yeah. No, I'm saying how many minutes into you were like, fuck it?
Oh, like a minute.
That quick.
Because I knew they hate me.
Yeah, you just knew right away.
And I was actually picked, favorited to win.
Yeah.
They told me, like, the judges told me, a couple of judges told me because they'd watched me. And they're like, yeah, we had you favorited to win the whole thing. And I was like, they fucking hate. And I just literally just walked the outer thing.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck it. I don't give a shit right now.
Yeah. That was me at Franklin Tavern last week. Because right before I get there, Kevin messages me, like, mind hosting? And I was like, I isn't this your show? I mean, I guess. And he was like, I just don't feel like doing it tonight. And I was like, no. No.
I actually did that a couple of weeks ago for him.
And he was always like, every time, well, these Saturday ones at Franklin Taverns, they're always full of people. It's always great. There was fucking nobody there.
On
a Saturday? On a
Saturday. Oh, it's always been.
I was so pissed. I was, because, you know, I will never say no to Kevin. Anything he asks me to do, I will say yes, except when he asks me to host the last minute. Fuck no. But he was like, oh, dude, it's always packed. It's always packed. I get there. There's like two guys at the bar. And as soon as we said we were starting the comedy part, they walked outside. I went up. I did three of my 5 minutes and I fucking left. I also was feeling like shit that day, but I almost didn't go to the show, period, because I thought I was going to throw up the
whole
way there.
That's how it is a lot of the times. And if you host there, you're a redneck wrangler. That's what you're like trying to group these people.
Well, and I was there the first time he did a show at Franklin, and it was that was the night that the only person there was the owner and his buddy, and they were hammered when the show started. Were you there? I know Caleb was there. I don't think you were there. No, you did the next one.
Yeah.
You did the one after that, and it was a rough night.
No,
the one I did, not the one you did.
I think I heard that was a night some dude after the show was like, hey, I did blackface one time and started like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a night.
Franklin Tavern, baby. That actually happened a week later at a different venue, a different guy, too, in Franklin.
Jesus Christ.
So, anyway. Shout out Franklin, baby.
What do you want to happen to the.
I don't know, because, and I've told you about this, I don't really have, like, feelings on Dave Chappelle, period. I didn't grow up watching the show. Mm-hmm. I'm not from around here, so, like, I don't have that, like, hometown vibe of him. I was not allowed to watch his show growing up.
I don't know that it's really as much of a hometown, because, I mean,
no, but there is.
The guy was from D.C. He's not.
Oh,
his
really?
People. Yeah, his
people. But see, that's the thing. I don't know that. I'm like, not
his, from yeah, around here. Did his dad here, live so. Out here? When the
right. Yeah. It was like, you know, his people. Out in Yellow Springs, you know, kind of that the bastion of the bougie black, but you know, he wasn't really here. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the guy that grew up in D.C., New York, East Coast guy, and he would come here to visit his peeps.
Gotcha.
That's how, like, you would see, like, coming up, I would see, like, D.L. Hughley.
Yeah.
He had people up in Columbus.
Yeah.
So you would see him pop in,
over,
you know, as he was. You know, kind of climbing.
Right.
He would just pop in and just murder.
Yeah.
See,
for me, because I'm an outsider, I always, the way it was always described to me made it sound like he was just fucking around here all the time.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah. I mean,
so I really don't know any better.
You saw him.
Yeah.
you know, from time to time.
Yeah.
And then you would see him like in between projects. Yeah, he's hanging out, blah, blah, blah. But most of the time, motherfucker was about his money. Okay. You know, I gotta keep it real. Okay.
He was about his money. But yeah, so but yeah, for me, like, I'm not sitting here like I don't have a love or a hate thing with Dave Chappelle at all. To me, it's just like, yeah, he was a great comic.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen any of his Netflix. But I don't watch.
I think it's weird for people because it's like
because of the current.
He lives in Yellow Springs.
Yeah,
like he's as popular as he is, and you're like, why Yellow Springs? Right, yeah. Dayton, that area.
Oh no, that makes perfect sense.
I know that's, but like,
because nobody's fucking there.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like, but people don't get that for how popular it is because
they don't know Yellow Springs. Like if they're not from around
that,
here, like
why would you, if you're so popular and all that, and you were considered the greatest, why do you live here?
I'll not remember when he disappeared.
Like that's
off
the outside
face of the
public
earth.
Looks, because well, honestly, everybody just kind of leaves him alone.
Yeah.
Number one, what a great place to raise your kids.
Oh, I love Yellow Springs.
They're gonna be peaceful. Mad chill.
Yeah, they are.
All right.
Especially once weed gets legalized.
It's not
even in Yellow Springs. It is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I grew up hiking out there. You know, you go up there and you know take your kids to Young's Dairy and all that kind of shit. I always liked Yellow Springs because it's one of those places, at least for me and a lot of people, it was a place you could go if you were dating interracially or if you were an openly gay couple.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because it's a very progressive
town.
You
could walk down the street. I'm talking like, you know, I'll age myself. In the 1970s, late 70s, nobody batted an eye.
Yeah.
It was a place where nobody yelled out of car windows unless it was, hey, you looking for a smoke? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Real hippie shit. But you didn't get any of that. There was none of that rednecky hate. There was none of that.
It's like, it's got that feel of a small town without like the closed off small town bullshit that usually comes with it.
Oh no, there are plenty of elitists now. Don't get it twisted.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm talking like the, like usually you go to these small towns and it's like you're describing, it's a lot of hicks that have never met a gay man in their life. So
you got hippies and you got hippie snobs, but,
every group's got their snobs.
But it's just, I've always liked it because it's a mad chill place to go.
Yeah. I'm out there like at least once a month. I love
great food, Yellow Springs. So, great place to hike.
Yeah.
I dig it. Always have.
Wings. They got wings out there.
Yes, they fucking do.
A lot of people, real quick, a lot of people forget how much Dave actually does love Dayton. I remember.
No, he does.
It really occurred to me. Oh, hell yeah. That Gym City Shine that he threw on right after the Oregon
after the
district.
Shooting, man. Yeah.
Wow. Like that.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah. I saw hundreds of thousands of people just.
I don't know how many people went there.
How long did that take him to put it together? Basically, Dave got on his phone.
A week.
Called some friends.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, boom. There they are.
Because like that, I saw Chance the Rapper live, and I've always wanted to see Chance the Rapper.
On Wayne Avenue.
I know.
That was insane. Wait.
And then Jon Stewart.
Yeah. You saw in the morning, because in the morning, you was with Kanye at church. I mean, it was trippy. Yeah.
Although my favorite thing, Aaron Fellows ever tell his story about how it had saw Stevie Wonder practicing in the morning? Because obviously feathers, and he heard him practicing in the morning, and he just waved at him, and he went, "Why did I just wave at Stevie Wonder?"
He's gonna regret that for the rest of his life.
No, like, that's Stevie Wonder.
I mean,
Bush did that.
The Gym City Shine was probably a top 10 moment of my life.
Exactly.
Because
well, especially considering what we had literally just gone through, and like, because I was off camping when the shooting happened, and by the time I got back, like it was like my first or second day back at work.
Yeah,
at the news station, they're like, "Yeah, we're sending out reporters down." I was like, "What? What's going on downtown?" Because I hadn't been here to fucking hear about it.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, "Oh yeah, Chappelle's putting together this fucking thing," and I was like, "Where?
It was
where?" Yeah. And then I saw the footage, and I was like, "God damn!"
And you know, if you were a comic, you know, you were smack dab in the middle of that pretty easily, you know, hanging out at the club's opens.
That's how I got. I never got tickets. They gave everybody tickets, Dayton, a certain amount of people tickets, Dayton residents. But like, I got in, I came in the Wileys like super early so I can get in.
Well, plus all you had to say was you were, because Wileys had like what, like a drinks stand or something. It's like, just say you're going there to work at Wileys. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they had a big beer truck, and it was a wonderful day.
But no, Jeff's right. I mean, like that's one of those things. It's like obviously he still has his heart rooted in this town, in at least to some degree, to put something like that together. Because I didn't see any other fucking towns doing something like that after
Well, it's rare. I mean, you always hear about artists getting together and trying to do something to heal the community.
Yeah.
And it's good that we've got somebody like that.
Yeah.
At that level of stature. Well, plus, who can make those calls. And,
you and know, plus, this was at a part of town that is known for being like the center of the nightlife. It's the nightlife, social life central. And yeah, like that can easily put a damper on people wanting to go out. And but I was actually kind of impressed with how much it didn't. Even prior to it, because people were just kind of like, fuck it, it's our fucking town, man. Like,
no, it was a horrible, horrible thing. I still have my moments.
Yeah.
Just because I still am so thankful and so realistically thankful, because on any other Saturday night, there would have been at least 5 or 6 different comics who I know and love that would have been in the line of fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just standing around doing what we do every fucking Saturday night. And nobody can explain why on that particular Saturday night, none of us.
Yeah. Not us, nobody.
Nobody was there.
Everybody went home.
Yeah.
I was out of town.
Everybody was somewhere else.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Not only that, because when I found out about it, because I was out camping, and the next morning I woke up to like a billion phone calls and shit.
Sure.
Like, because people knew I lived in Dayton. So my brother at the time lived above Feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his girlfriend at the time both worked at one of the news stations. So, like, they were getting calls from the news station. Like, you guys come in. They're like, no, we're here. Like, we're not coming in. And then also a friend of mine's a bartender there. And a girl I was seeing at the time was at the bar. She left like 10 minutes before this shit went down. So I'm like, just like, and then none of the comics were there. Like, a lot of people got hurt.
Yeah, we usually hung outside of Feathers. So it was really kind of weird.
So it's just kind of crazy to me that's like,
I thank DJ Dangler for giving me an edible that night that got me super fucking high.
Okay. Shout out.
No shit.
I will always remember that because like, DJ was there. And he's like, you want an edible? Because you're a DJ. And I was like, yeah.
Yes.
And I had Melissa with me.
Yeah.
And like, I just ate an edible. And I got super fucking high. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Melissa, you got to drive us home. You're going to go out.
That was awesome.
Like,
yeah.
And then Aaron and all them went to Indianapolis for some. It was, when you say that, it is amazing that nobody was there.
I've never thought about that, actually.
Yeah. Nobody. And again,
always all hang out.
Any Saturday night.
Yeah.
There could be any number of
people
from the comedy community, from different generations of the comedy community, that would be at any one of the
It could have been you, and you weren't around at the time, but Jeff, it could have easily been you as well.
I went there with my friends all the time. I actually found out from Kevin Garnett online. I checked my Instagram as soon as I woke up, and he posted about this city that I've lived in my entire life. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I actually found out like 4 days later, like, because we were thinking about going down there that night, but 4 days later I found out that I knew the guy. I went to Sinclair with him.
Holy shit.
The semester previous.
Jesus.
And I actually had his number in my phone. We did a couple projects together.
No shit.
Yeah. The part that I hate is I thought he was hilarious. I was like, fuck. Yeah, that was the worst. When I was like laughing at all his dark jokes.
And then you realize they weren't really jokes.
They weren't really jokes.
They weren't really jokes.
No,
at all, man. And so, yeah, that was the part I was like, oh shit. So that Gym City Shine really hit home for me because I realized like I was feet away from evil, like I communicated with it, and
if I had realized, like, if that had happened, I can't even imagine like that fucking feeling of like this guy I have personal contact information with, like that.
You know, you're on some FBI list.
Yeah,
now,
like, oh no, yeah, they know everything about you.
That's okay.
They know if you're circumcised, you're uncircumcised.
So exactly. You laughed at his jokes.
Scribble,
scribble. That was funny, didn't
you? Yeah. But yeah, so I'm one of those like guys. Like, I can see this going like one of a million different ways, and we're not going to know until it happens. Either because, like I said, it could be really good, it could be really bad,
or
it could mean nothing.
I honestly don't think it can be really bad.
Well, I mean, I think he's owned it for a while too.
Oh, really?
I think it's been like 6 months.
Wow, and they're just releasing it.
I thought this was a recent purchase.
Nah, I think it just broke the news because they've been trying to figure out who bought it. iHeartRadio's been out there for a while.
Yeah, but I didn't know that the building had already been bought. Yeah. I thought it was still up for sale.
We should have started with this, Mike.
Holy shit. Bury the lead, motherfucker.
I think, I think that's how I think they've had it for a while. No,
I'm pulling it up.
Well, and it might not be something that necessarily wanted a news release on.
Yeah, I know. Right. It's just like, yeah. I think they want digging for it.
Interesting.
And somebody found out. Well, because, anytime any property down in the Oregon district goes up, they want to know who's buying it
and
what they intend to do with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, especially because there's a whole organization, like there's so many rules and stuff for like how you can
look, the preservation the Nazis are entrenched in the Oregon.
Yeah. I'm from a town in South Carolina. It was the same fucking way. They were like, all the buildings have to like look the a certain knobs, way to preserve
the and doors. It's like,
do you know what engines. Kind of fucking debauchery goes on here at night?
They don't care.
Fuck the exterior.
So building. Much semen and pussy juice just, on these door knobs.
Just constant fucking. Just constant rigorous fucking.
You ever heard of a butt plug door? I don't know where I'm going.
No, yeah.
No clue.
The preservation Nazis in the Oregon district. And again, giving my age away, I'm one of those people who can remember when that entire district, that's where you went if you had a fetish to pee outside.
Mm.
It was the nasty part of Dayton. Okay.
Yeah.
Fifth Street. Once you got past the
he bought it Wednesday
railroad tracks.
He bought it on.
Oh, that was piss outside. Maybe the
talk. They know how to party, Jesse. All of that.
Because there were porno shops.
Yeah,
that's which not meant, true.
Well, nobody gonna tell on you if they saw you down there.
That's not true. Because I know some things.
Hell yeah. Okay,
I'm going off. The article says he bought it on Wednesday.
I know somebody told me some things.
That's fine.
Okay, this is off the record, Mike.
Yeah,
cut that.
He knows a guy who knows a guy.
He knows a guy. I'm not cutting shit. I don't cut.
Who knows a girl?
Somebody told me some things. They might have made
told
it.
Me
yeah,
you had a boyfriend.
So
yeah, okay. Well, that's definitely an interesting take.
I mean, I get people's apprehension. I think ultimately it's gonna just equal out to be another thing. But
look, okay, he. Worst case scenario to me is, all right, let's say he bought it because he needs a loss.
Yeah.
He's been making a lot of money.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's
all right.
Also a good point.
Also a very good point. Yeah.
All right. Been making a lot of money, needs a loss. That means he leaves the club open.
Yeah.
That means he hires a bunch of shitty comics. Dayton will have work.
That's true. Mm. I'm a shitty comic that needs work.
So. Okay. So, I mean, that to me would be the worst case scenario is he operates it as a loss. And there's plenty of comedy clubs that have always been operated that way. You know, you get there as a comic and you wonder, okay, why is this fucking place still open?
Yeah, there's one in Indianapolis I've been to.
There have been 12 people here for three shows.
Yeah.
Why are we still open? Because somebody needs a loss.
Yeah.
And that's why you're there.
Or they're laundering some fucking mob money.
And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's fine.
As long as Vinny pays me.
Yeah. As long as I got a stage to stand on. All right.
I'm not here to investigate.
I've seen Ozark. I know fucking. If I ever see somebody, a white guy named Marty in the back, there's some money laundering.
Hey, Mike. How much did I pay you this week?
Do you want me to pay you in cash or pay you in steaks? I don't know. My fridge is a little empty. I could use some steaks.
It just fucking kills a cow in front of me. God, that would be hilarious. Not for the cow.
Not for the cow.
But with his love for Dayton, that building has always been going like that. Yeah. It's been going downhill for a while. Somebody with money has control of the decisions. I think that's a good thing.
And what if he changes it to an art center? You know what I mean? Like, it could be, there's so much stuff you could do with that building.
That's what I'm interested in because that's a prime space.
Yeah.
I think there's some real inventive, productive things that could be done with the space.
Sure.
Whether he uses it for business or just as an artistic space.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we joke about radio being dead, but I mean, iHeart took very good care of their chunk of the building. It was in great shape and it's got that in and of itself is a great space. I mean, they have a performance space in there because when they would have bands or whoever come through, they would go like do a little small, you know. You could do a lot with that.
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things you could do with it that could be inventive and different. And you know, let's just see what happens. I think it's exciting. If nothing else, it keeps, once again, it keeps the Dayton comedy scene in people's minds.
Right. It does.
And it that's a great thing.
It is, because I mean that's getting harder and harder to do.
What?
Just keeping the local comedy scene in people's minds. No. Like you said yourself earlier when people were like, oh, Wiley's is still fucking open. It's like it just kind of sucks that we're still having to remind people it's there.
But they don't advertise.
I think it's partly there's been a shift you know, in the way advertising is done, the way you market. And so some people, some demographics are kind of left out of that. Mm. And at the same time, I've always believed for a lot of people, comedy is generational.
Okay.
They go to clubs, comedy clubs, when they're in their 20s to about the end of their 20s and 30s. When they start having kids, they don't go to the club as much. Because what makes them laugh changes.
Mm.
You know, what makes them laugh after they have kids is watching a kid fall down some stairs. That's the, which, you know, you're a parent.
I love that now. See? But fuck kids.
But before, yeah, you didn't think that shit was fun. But I mean, yeah. You change. Generational change. But I always think that, you know, as the club changes, as the audience changes, it doesn't necessarily always, comics don't always shift with the times.
Mm. Yeah.
It just, there's no other way to put it. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes, not all comedy ages well.
That's very true. That okay. is very true.
Some people aren't aware as well. They're just not.
Yeah.
Which I've never got. Okay. I would, personally, I would be ashamed if I was telling a joke from 20 years ago.
We had this conversation at Wiley's one time, actually, right. Jesse, in the back.
I found some of my old fucking videos the other day on Facebook, and I was like, these can never see the light of day again.
Shame.
Holy shit.
Okay? 20 years? I'm going to fuck you a headliner.
Yeah.
Put that shit to bed.
Well, Greg Hahn does the same thing from...
Okay.
I mean, it's funny, but it's like he's been doing the same fucking...
Well, but he does them so fast.
Yeah. Well, no, I get that, too.
Yeah.
You know, you almost don't recognize.
But,
I get,
but not only that, they're not like current event related. Like, could you imagine doing like a Monica Lewinsky joke now?
There are comics that do.
Oh, I know. That's yeah.
And O.J. Simpson jokes. And, you know, Clinton jokes. And I'm just like, come on now.
Yeah. R. Kelly's getting there. R. Kelly's getting there.
If you are in or around the Dayton, Ohio area and you want to know more about what's going on in the local comedy scene, we have a website for you. Go to www.gemcitycomedy.com. That's www.gemcitycomedy.com. We've got profiles on all your favorite local comedians, as well as a calendar and guide to all the shows going on, whether they're open mics or big headliner shows or showcases or whatever we have in store. You can also submit your own information to the website to be updated within 48 hours. I run this website myself. It is a passion project of love. So make sure you guys go check that out right now. Go to www.gemcitycomedy.com to get all the information on the Dayton comedy scene.
To loop it all around, what you were saying about the time you performed right after 9/11, you were describing like the crowd was like determined to be entertained.
Oh yeah.
And I thought it was a really cool comparison to how I felt at the Gem City Shine. Because there's some assholes from Centerville just like drinking seltzers and stuff like that and partying, but a lot of the people were from the city. They knew people that had new people that got shot, and we were determined to have fun.
Yeah, because and that was the thing. I think that was one of the important reasons why I had to be there, why you had to be there, why people had to be there was we had to collectively put it behind us. And just say, okay, yeah, this happened. But that could have only been possible, I think, at Gem Shitty Shine.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would have been,
because where I was camping at was at this big outdoor event, and it was in Pennsylvania, but a lot of people there were from like Dayton, Cincinnati, and had family there or were from there. So the whole time I was there, there were people packing up and leaving like the next day to go home because they had heard about it, or they just didn't. They're like, I don't want to be here. I want to be back at home.
Yeah.
And then we all also, the whole time we were there, instead of the usual like activities and stuff, they were canceling those and be like, if anybody wants to come use this tent from this time to this time, who's from the area that just needs to have a group sesh, they were doing that. I mean, it was.
I don't see if I can pull this video. It's one of my favorite videos ever. Fuck, where is it?
Oh, it was from.
Somebody recorded it, but I was like, I reshared it.
But yeah, you said something about Chance, and Chance is like one of my really favorite artists, especially at the time. His songs meant a lot to me, so he performed like a song that...
He had just put an album out or something hadn't he? Yeah.
He had just dropped his new album like days before.
Yeah. So, The Big Day.
It was amazing.
It's called.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Amazing. absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, the big day.
Yeah, but he did a couple of those songs. But he did a lot of songs from the Coloring Book that really touched home about my childhood. And it was on Wayne Avenue where I had run around my whole life, and to have that moment, like Dave provided for every moment. That was. Yeah.
That's what I mean. I mean, I'm standing there. I'm looking. I am spitting distance from Stevie Wonder.
Right,
as he does. Loves in Need. I'm like, that's one of my favorite songs in the whole fucking world. And I'm watching him do it, and I'm going, yeah.
Did he play Superstition?
No.
Oh, okay.
He did Happy Birthday, though. That was the
did Happy Birthday.
Everybody fucking.
I love Superstition, so I was kind of hoping. Because I didn't get to go. I was at
Fun
work,
fact.
But, yeah.
Who did he write that for?
I actually don't know.
Jeff Beck.
Really?
Jeff was like, man, I don't know, man. I don't know, Steve. Steve was like, man, it'll kill. He's like, no, you do it. And yeah.
Well, there's a documentary coming to the Neon soon about, and I'm blanking on the guy's name all of a sudden, the guy who did the Ghostbusters song.
Bobby Brown.
There's a documentary about him coming out soon about all the like Grammy award winning albums he was a session musician on. Stuff for Stevie Wonder, worked with Prince, all these other guys that he never got any credit
for. Oh, you're talking about Ray Parker.
Ray Parker, yeah.
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny to me that he does not seem to get the credit that he deserves. I mean, he had a decent solo career.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Send it to me on Facebook.
Ghostbusters, plus he was a session guy. He was like a child prodigy.
Same messenger.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of great music.
Yeah, it's gonna be the Neon. It's coming out some point in the next couple of months here. But yeah, it's all about him working with those guys and helping write some of these iconic fucking songs.
Ray Parker Jr. Yeah, he was the man for a minute there.
He was
Woman Needs Love. Oh yeah, that was a big hit for him. He had a group called Radio.
Is that what it's called?
R-A-Y-D-I-O.
Okay.
Radio.
Ooh, I was about to say, you got to stand out.
If you guys like to reach out to us and be a part of the show, be a part of the conversation, there are several ways to do that. Just go to our website, www.tblpod.net. That's www.tblpod.net. You can send us a message through the website, or you can even leave us a voicemail by clicking on the voicemail button in the corner of the screen and leave us a message that we will respond to live on the show. Once again, just go to www.tblpod.net. .net.
Better be a good video, Mike.
This better be a great fucking video. All right. Now can you guys see it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now there we go. Look at that.
That's just God.
Shit doesn't give me goosebumps.
Man. It's gonna be Dayton's Woodstock.
Yeah.
Everybody will have a story about they were there.
Yeah.
They were.
Because that was the first time it felt kind of like normal. Not normal, but like being in that audience is just kind of like.
The fog cleared a little
bit. Yeah. Like we'll get past this. Like,
after the Teyana Taylor, she did a memorial for all the victims and showed their pictures and everything.
Oh, really?
And after that was like when we remembered why we were all here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was helpful.
Yeah. And hell yeah, man.
It was necessary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I sent that to fucking, didn't mean to send that to Vander.
Yeah, and we're lucky. Lucky in that, you know, like y'all said, we're real lucky that we've got an artist of that caliber,
yeah,
who could do that right. For the community. So, and I guess that's it. We should look at the purchase of the building in the same context.
Yeah.
Is, you know, this is a good thing. This will be a good thing. And just, you know, stay positive on the tip.
Now, like I said, I haven't watched, like, the Netflix specials. I don't watch specials in general. So I think part of where people are having the mixed feelings is because of, like, the controversy that he's had.
And I don't get it.
Okay. I don't know what the bits are, so I can't speak on any of this.
Well, no, it's not even about the bits, all right? If you don't like a motherfucker's joke, the motherfucker is sorry. I say that for every comic who has ever lived, going all the way back to Adam's brother-in-law, okay, who probably had a joke about Eve. You know that whole fuck that snake. Okay, but my point is...
Yeah.
Comics are always going to say things that's going to upset somebody. All right? My question is, when are you going to get past it? He told a joke you didn't like. Okay? What are your expectations in this moment? That he is supposed to what? Be part of some great educational moment as to why you are particularly offended. Not that he attacked you. You're just offended.
You just didn't like what he had to say.
You just didn't like what he had to say. Because to you, his statement is tantamount to Will slapping Chris. It gives permission to hate. Okay. I can't make that leap. I can't make that jump. Okay. Dave's not advocating any sort of anti-trans violence, is he? Don't think so. I mean, again, if you qualify the jokes as jokes and you don't like them, then don't like them. To me, it doesn't get any deeper than that. Unless there's something else in this agenda. What is that? Or what could that possibly be? Could it be the ultimate goal of both the ultimate liberal and the ultimate conservative? Which is to shut the comic up, to make the comic so fearful of speaking their truth that they begin to self-censor for fear of pissing somebody off.
Right.
Then that means some critical truth doesn't get told because we're all scared.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. Damon Wayans also said something similar to that where he was like, he did it for us. He went out there and he did that for all comedians. It's just, this is not, like, you can't determine what gets out.
Well, not only that, it's just like some people, like, fine, like, if you can't make fun of, if you're upset about trans jokes, okay, but you, then at what, where do you draw the line in the sense that you can't make fun of white people then? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like, white people don't give a shit if you make fun of white people.
No.
But like...
I fucking hate white people.
Yeah, but like where's... Like you, I think the whole point of honestly the stand-up is like... Especially with that was like... Yeah, I'm making these jokes. Especially in the second one. He's like, I'm making these jokes. Don't make other... Because I think he said, don't come after me then or don't
right.
make other jokes like that. In the sense is like, yeah, I'm making these jokes and that means you can't make these... like. Jokes.
As you're saying.
Yeah. Like, it, like, it's what people say cis. Like, why would you say cis? You know what I mean? Cis. Like, it's just like, okay, like, I can't make these jokes, then why can you make those jokes? Like, what's the difference?
I think what you're saying is, like, basically either everyone's off limits or no one's off limits.
And that's why it comes back to censorship.
Yeah.
That is why I say the inmates want to run the asylum.
Yeah.
And they don't care whether it swings to the hard left or the hard right because they know both directions will still get the job done. It will silence the truth tellers.
Well, it's like, remember in Shane Gillis... The whole Shane Gillis thing from SNL.
Fucking ridiculous.
Got like, and he didn't say anything racist. He just did voices. Was it voices or something like that?
He actually did. He dropped the.
He dropped the hard C bomb about C-bomb. Asian C bomb.
Yeah, we don't want the same thing to happen.
No, I'm not.
But like, it's sitting there. It's like, But the whole point was like, okay, and he did. I think he did some voices too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He did, but the nail in the coffin was the was that.
But they got on talking about all of it, but it's kind of like, okay, then fine. Like, I got in an argument with somebody. It's like, fine. I have no problem. Like, you know, I had to say, I don't know. Like, at the very beginning of this argument, I was like, I don't give a shit what anybody makes fun of. But like, at some point, the pendulum will swing the other way, and you have to wait for it to swing the other way.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not gonna. I was like, it will, because if you say like, I can't make fun of this, then you sure as hell can't do white voice. Like, you know, like, because it's the same thing. But like, at what point it's like, you can't, like I said, you can't go after one, you can't go after the other. Yeah. And like, again, I don't give a fuck. Like, you heard my jokes. I don't give a fuck what the fuck anybody makes fun of.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like.
I'll equate it back to everyone's favorite story, Fried Chicken Boy from the Barrel House.
Oh
yeah.
Look, if you're gonna say this shit, it better be really
funniest thing.
Because the minute he said the word Air Jordans, I set my phone down and was just like, the next thing out of this motherfucker's mouth better be the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. And he drops the fried chicken comment, and I don't think I've ever seen someone get bitched off a stage that fast in my just turns around, you're gone, and just goes right back to what he's doing, and the guy just stood there just walked the fuck off.
Well, I mean, you know, aside from the obvious issues with, you know, dietary concerns, I mean, I think if you're gonna go there, okay, and when I say go there, I mean, if number one, if you're gonna go stereotype on any group, the next thing out your mouth better be the most original, funny, shit ever said, mainly because you're perpetuating a stereotype, that means you are about to endorse what some of the racist sexists in your audience already think, or you're about to piss them off.
Yep.
Which is it going to be? So I've always gone there.
Yeah.
If I decide it needs to happen. And sometimes you pay the price. Yep. And sometimes even when the audience roars, you'll still see faces, you know, where people just bent all out of fucking shape.
Yep.
You know, because
you've seen it.
People laughed at something they were deeply, deeply offended by.
Yeah.
Y'all have all seen me. I use the N-word. I use it consistently, vigorously, like a loofah.
I've never heard you say the N-word. I've never heard you say no. And I think that.
You're right about that. And that's why I'm here on a Monday night.
Because we knew he wasn't going to fucking say no.